want to go through the message today. To some of you, the message may not be relevant. But I want to tell you this one thing. As my young brother in front said, I call him young brother because I'm really old. The Bible is unchanging. God is unchanging. And the reason why we as a Christian, what we believe, we need to be moving along with the Bible the way that God give it to us. Because God don't change. As he said, we all change, right? We all change. Do we want to make changes to the world? And if you realize today, we are living in a very crucial time. And a lot of people in the world just go about their own mundane life. Morning they get up, you know, they brush their teeth, eat their breakfast, goes to work, go to school, and then come back home as usual, have their dinner. And then maybe have some movie or read some paper and maybe have a little quarrel with the husband or wife or with the children. And after that they go to bed and then morning again it starts all over. But if people are watchful, the Bible tells us to be watchful about the fulfillment of the Bible prophecy, the scripture. And we know we are living in a very crucial time. And if you are following the news very carefully, and you really know that there is all kinds of report, not only in our paper, but the CNN or CNA or the Russia Today or the Fox News or Bloomberg, and you name it all. Everyone here, all the journalists are having a hard time trying to decipher real news from fake news. You all know that, don't you? Yes. And today I found in a newspaper, I don't have the time to read it this morning, but I'm going to go back, I'm going to read it. It's about Donald Trump, the thing that's going on. I want to see what it says there. But I want to show you this one thing. America is falling, falling fast. Because it's already been prophesied and already been rebuilt. God's prophet has already rebuilt America. That America has fallen. Now that was back in 1961, I believe, or 63. He said, I no longer pray for America. She's fallen. And you know, it's the same thing like in Israel, in old time. When God rebuilt the children of Israel, he told them, because of this thing, I will let the enemy come against you. I will not defend you until you come to the place of repentance. America cannot repent anymore. Because they have been against God's word. They have been back in the 60s when a prophet walked that land and do miracles, a supernatural thing, and yet they do not accept the very word that he gave them. And the same thing as we see in the Bible, history will always repeat itself. Today, you know, America are preparing now for inauguration or the swearing in of Donald Trump. I think it's on the 19th, is it right? 20th? Yeah. And well, I don't know what's going to happen. And there's a lot of preparation. You know, they feel, you know, some kind of civil unrest and things like that. It will soon be. Not necessarily on that day. Because there is a lot of militia people, you know, training themselves in the forest, in the jungle, you know, out there. And they, you know, because they are frustrated with the politics systems. The racism and things like that. And black is against the white people out there too. You know. And very soon America is going to go down. And we are waiting for what the Bible said about the coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ. The world will never have peace. The world will never be what it should be until the King of Kings comes back. And he will set up his kingdom on the earth and he will rule the whole earth with a rod of iron. He's not going to rule it with a rod that is made of copper or plastic. He's going to rule it with a rod of iron. And he's going to put up the word the way it should be. A nation have to obey. Now you want to publish people, you know, people who are not believers of the Bible, they find it very strange. You find, how could that be? If you only you know the Bible. And the Bible has been a book that has been proven by science. Scientifically proven that nobody could write this, even though it was written with a space about 2,000 plus years. About 40 writers of this Bible. And they never even seen, many of them never seen each other. Just imagine the space of time. And yet the consistency from Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, 66 books. All consistent. and scientifically proven, as already we already know, how God used a man called Ivan Penin, a Dr. Ivan Penin, an atheist who fought against the church, who criticized the Christian and criticized the Bible, until his colleague asked him, "You call yourself a professor? Have you ever read the Bible? Why are you attacking the church?" And he was ashamed. And this man, this Dr. Ivan Penin, being a Russian, he said, "Yes, I need to prove that the Bible is not true. It's a fake book. It's not real. Then I will speak against it." And he, being a linguist, and God used that man, an atheist, a one who doesn't even believe in God, who is a major in mathematician, and he is a linguist in two other languages, Greek and Hebrew. And what happened? And as we all know, if you read the books, he bought the Bible in Hebrew, in the Old Testament is Hebrew, Greek is in the New Testament. Went back and he read the first chapter of Genesis, and when he opened the book, Genesis chapter 1, and he read it, just only for the first few verses, he was shocked what he read. You know what did he see? He never see the Hebrew words at all. What he saw was numbers, because in the Hebrew and Greek alphabets, every alphabet has a number to it, a place value. Only these two languages has that uniqueness. And God used those two languages to write the Bible. And now in the 20th century, in the earlier 20th century, he used this man to prove to the world that nobody could write this book, because there is a seal he placed on it. So when he read that in the first chapter, he couldn't believe it. And then he went to look at Matthew, and look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, and he read that. He saw the same pattern, and he said to himself, if there is really a creator, the one that created heaven and earth and make things exist, and I saw the seals in the rainbow, I see the number of days in the week, I saw the what we call the conception period to a birth, is on a number of the seal, number 7. Even musical notes are 7. A lot of things are in 7. And he said, if the same seal that is in nature, well, one who created it, it has to be here. And God showed it to him, that the Bible has a seal number 7 throughout from Genesis to Revelation. And that's why he gave his life to the Lord. And he gave his life to translate the New Testament of Greek into numerical structure so that people can read the way that God presented beautifully. God used that man. Last Friday I asked Maji, who appointed President Duterte into office? Who? She said, of course, the Filipino people. I said, no. God put him into office. The Bible said that in the book of Daniel chapter 4 verse 17. Why did God put Nebuchadnezzar into his office? Why did God put Pharaoh into office? What do you think? Huh? Why did God put Lee Kuan Yew into office? Every office, high places, God appointed these people. You people, we people on earth, we don't know. So the people vote for them, of course, naturally. But God has already appointed them, so that they may bring in about good or bad. Because God said, I'm the Lord. I created good and evil. Why? To bring glory to himself. God did not force evil on man. Indirectly, evil came from God. That is true, because of Satan. Satan, who was Lucifer, a beautiful angel, but because of his pride, he fell and he became an adversary of God. If we do not know evil, we do not know good. If we do not know darkness, we never know what is light. There must be a contrast. And this world is ending. The system is ending, and we are looking forward to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we realize that we are late in the days that we are living in now. And very soon, Christ is going to come. Amen? So that's why how important it is that we want to look at the scripture. Look at the way that we have. And we have already about a few hundred sermons on the website. Sister Greta, she writes me an email ever so often and says, "Brother John, I'm so blessed. She came into our website. God just... I think a couple of months back now, and she had been going to the website before she goes, she prays and says, Lord, give me a message from on the website. And when she prays, she'll look for it, and then the Lord will give her a sermon, and she'll listen to it and say, "Oh, I did not realize this truth. I'm blessed by what God has revealed to me." You know, and so many other things have testimony. And so it is a great joy to receive, you know, emails like that from her, and even Sister Isabel in Canada, you know, how they were blessed. And many others. Anyway, we all want to have a song, and now we go straight to the message this morning. And I want to show you something, why the importance of our character and our presentation of ourselves being a Christian. I belong to you, Lord Jesus. Shall we stand?
There was a time when my heart was so lonely. There was a time I was deep in sin. Then one day
people, Lord. May your scriptures, O Lord, bring forth the truth to give eternal life to those who have ears to hear. And may they understand, O Father, the hour that we're living now. So we commit this time to you now, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I have text on the PowerPoint here, but I will let you turn to your Bible so that you get used to opening the Bible. Alright? You must learn how to use a sword. If you do not know how to draw a sword, you can't fight. Alright? Now, my subject this morning is about accoutrement. Well, I want to use that word. I don't quite like to use that word. It's just about clothing. But I want to use one particular word. The naked tithes. Sounds familiar? The naked tithes. Alright. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Chapter 22 and verse 5. This verse, you know, we are Christian people. And we need to understand the importance of what God instructs us in His Word. If you look at today's population of the world, and how people dressed in this century, or perhaps the last 100 years, and how they have changed. Oh, just go back just before the First World War in the 20th century, then the Second World War, and then after that, up to now, you can see the change in fashion. But go back 200, 300, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years back. And find out how do people wear. How they clothe themselves. Now, the Bible is written for one thing. It's not written for sinners. It is written for Christian people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
The gospel is preached to sinners that they might hear God's word and understand that they need a Savior. And once they know the Savior, you want to follow what the Savior tells you. Right. So here is this verse. It says, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord. Now, what does this verse actually tell people? It's in the scripture. Churches are everywhere around the world. As we know, the population of the world today, about 1/3, 30% of the world population are Christian people. That means they encompass whatever denomination, whatever sect and group. But everybody have their own ideas. As you know, people want to have their own way, but the Bible has God's only one way. It doesn't change. So we need to conform to what the Word of God says. So now here he said this verse. The woman shall not wear which that pertained to a man. So there have been a lot of argument about this. So what does the word pertained mean? Now, the word pertained in the Hebrew word is ki'i. Alright, Q-E. And the Strong Concordance, the dictionary will tell you this. That's from the Hebrew number 3615. Of course, that is a basic root word. It means something prepared. That is, any apparatus as an implement, utensil, dress, vessel, or weapon. Armor bearer, artillery, bag, carriage, furniture, plus means, you know, these are the dictionary explanation, means including furniture, instrument, jewel that is made of what gold, silver, whatever it is. X means you multiply magnification one from another, that which pertaineth port as well, and even subtlety, staff, things, to vessel, wear, weapon, plus whatever. So practically, the word pertains to mean something that is prepared. But there are Christian denominations, they were, because they want their, you know, especially preacher, pastors, they want their church, the people to dress the way they want, they allow them to dress anyhow. And they will argue that the word prepared means something that is prepared for the man, and that is because it says here, what do you have? Weapon, artillery, armor. So they say it's the woman cannot wear army apparel. They cannot carry a sword or a knife. So they use this word. The word weapon is here. So they said that woman cannot wear anything that belongs to a man who is a soldier, a warrior. So they want to pick only what they want to pick. That's not dictionary. Dictionary, even the English word has many meanings. You cannot choose whatever you want to suit you. You may use thesaurus to use synonym. Yes, I understand. But when it comes to the Word of God, it actually hears an apparatus, something prepared, that is an apparatus. It could be anything. It could be just a bottle that carries water. It's an apparatus. Your clothing is an apparatus that you wear. A chair is a furniture, is an apparatus. So anything that is prepared, that's what it means. But here it says, we go back and it says here, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth to the apparatus that belongs to the man. That's what it says. So it is in your weapon of a soldier man. Is there anything that is made for man, woman should not wear it. The same thing here. Neither shall man put a woman's garment. So a woman cannot put on a man's garment. A man cannot put on a woman's garment. That is what actually the Bible is trying to tell us. But who cares? After all, you know, God says that we have grace. We have grace. We do whatever we want. So Christians do everything they want. They'll do what they want. But we cannot do what we want, because the Bible tells us, as Paul said, I am a prisoner of Christ. I purchased with a price. I'm no longer my own. I belong to the one who bought me. Christ purchased us with his blood. If we don't belong to ourselves anymore, we belong to God. You see? A prisoner has no right. You all know that. So I'm a prisoner of Christ. And that's why he gave the Bible has an instruction for us how that we live our life, what to believe, and so on. And so when it comes to clothing, it's become a problem in the churches. They don't care anymore about it. But see, my duty is to teach the people the Word of God. And it is their duty to respond to the Word of God, and I'm no longer responsible for their non-responsibility to do as what God would say. You know. It's just like, you know, or Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. Yahweh or Baal, the false god. You choose. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come, as Moses would say. So we have to respond to what we know is true. Okay, so you see the word here pertaining to. It's very important. Now, Timothy, chapter 2, verse 8 to 10. Here is what Paul said. I would therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair of gold or pearl or costly array, by which becometh woman professing godliness with good works. Remember, this is talking about the Christian woman. This Bible is for us Christians. Do you see? And yet there are many people who are not Christian. They actually dress themselves very nicely, proper, and put many Christians to shame. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. It's just like, when I was working back then in the hospital, in a mental hospital, you know, and you can see that there are some religious people. They can pray 5 times a day, they can say prayer and all that, but from their mouth, they use 4-letter words so often. So, that is very contrary. Light and darkness dwell together, that's not possible. You know. You believe in God, next moment you say you're supposed to follow God's word, next moment you start cursing and swearing. That doesn't show the life of a believer. See? So now here Paul wrote to the Christian, to Timothy. Now he said, therefore pray, men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He says, don't get angry about little things in your life, and you doubt when you come to the Lord and you pray, you doubt. Don't. Just worship the Lord and have faith. And in like manner, he said, the man, the woman adorned themselves in modest apparel. You see the word modest apparel? In fact, this Greek word here, it means, it comes from the word modest, kosmio katastoli. Kosmio means not the cosmo, okay, not the worldly system. But kosmio, something that is proper. Apparel, this word here, katastoli, means something that is long. It is exactly in the Hebrew word where God make coats of skin to clothe Adam and Eve after they sin against the Lord, because they were naked. So God put coats of skin of animal and clothe them, and that apparel that God gave to them is from the shoulder all the way down to their ankles, covering up. And this is what katastoli means, the apparel. It's a long dress. Okay. And a woman should be with self-fastness. That means, serious. Sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearl or costly array. It doesn't mean that you cannot plait your hair. It doesn't mean that. Your hair is a contrast of words between what is said here and here. Dress in modest apparel with self-fastness and sobriety. Not, it means that not be excessive. Huh? Making up your hair until it looks like I don't know what. Some people dress their hair in all the crazy styles in the world. It doesn't mean that you cannot have a gold chain around your neck. Certainly you don't want to have a lot of chain on the outside. You know, I see women sometimes they do have, I don't know, weight 500 grams or something, like half a kilo around and show off. You know, I mean, what is that? That's vanity. I mean, if your grandfather give you a gold chain or something or a necklace, you want to wear? Yeah, sure. And normally you wear it, hang around your neck, you put it inside. You don't want to put it on the outside. And I think when people put it on the outside, it's a show off, as if they have a lot of money. Or pearl or costly array, doesn't mean that you cannot buy expensive clothes. But certainly you do not want to wear expensive clothes all the time to frown, to show off. See? So this is what the Bible taught this contrast. Be modest. Now, the Bible did not tell you to overdress in such a way that, you cover every part of your body like some religious people do in the Middle East. And you cannot see anything except their hands and their 2 eyes. No, God did not tell you to do that. He said, modest apparel. Orderly, proper. So what is proper dress? Again, we got sin for here. Doesn't matter. That this is the important verse that I want to talk about. What belongs to the man, you keep away. The woman. And what belongs to the woman, men should keep away. And so on. But, strangely now, we have seen this. Now, this is the way the man on the right has. Back in ancient times, that's how they dressed. All they have is just on outside.
The men didn't wear trousers.
There's no trousers in those days.
Now, this dress here, the men here all wearing white. All look like a skirt, isn't it? Huh? So what happened if a man today wear this? What will you think? This is a Roman. This man is a Roman. And in those days, this is called tunic. It's just a dress to cover themselves. And poor people in those days under the Roman era, they were dressed like this. So now, it looks strange, don't you think so? It looks like a real mini skirt. Right? But look at this one. Here is that if you are rich, you wear a longer one. So that's how the Roman dress. The woman is the longest, all the way down to the ankle. So the difference between the woman and the man. So the woman dressed what the man is wearing like this in those days, she is putting on a man's garment. Do you understand what I'm saying? You see? Alright, so there must be a certain standard in the society, what you see in the world. Alright, what is proper, what is not proper. So today, what is proper? Well, what is proper may not be what is proper according to the Bible. Alright, let's look. This is an ancient picture of the Bible time. You see how they dressed? Look at how many layers of clothes that the woman wear here. There is this one piece here, right here. There's another one, the pink one, the green one. And then you have this large piece of, like a shawl. Listen, you can see the different colors here, and this piece. And this is how the king would, this is a warrior, and the king. See how much clothing they have. And this is the high priest. 1, 2, 3, 4 layers, including the monarch up here. That's a lot of clothing. Those days, that's how people went. And look at this one here. Now, this picture is the Jews from different countries in different centuries. Some of them are from back to the 12th century, 16th century, from different countries. But one thing you notice, that they are all fully clothed. That's a lot of clothing. See? You notice that. Right. Now, so the question right now is this. What is proper? What is proper? Are we supposed to go back into history and dress the way that the Christian people or the ancient people wear the kind of clothing? Of course not. First of all, we understand that the world has changed a lot. The temperature, the climate of the world has changed. My daughter Zoe was testifying what happened over in California. In fact, this was only last week or so back. They have a whole day of rainfall. It just rained. It never rained like this in USA. This, I don't know how many hundreds of years now since that they have this experience. It rained and rained and rained a whole day until many houses were flooded. It's just like an equatorial weather, rainfall in California. And we see that the world weather has changed. There's global warming. Temperature has changed. Here Singapore is getting hotter now. More humid. And you never know, one of these days we might get some snow falling. It won't be, of course, a lot of snow. Maybe just some snowflake. It may happen. Because only Antarctica, the Arctic ice has melted for a long time. A lot of, if you look at the old satellite picture and compare to the latest one, you can see the ice are melting. And even recently the paper reported, there was news media report about the Antarctica ice are melting. Not only melt. When the water melts, it goes into the crack, into the crevices, it expands. It cracks apart the shelf. So what do you think is going to happen? That's why when the Lord returned back, He ruled the world for 1,000 years. And after that, He was judged all the dead. And then He will burn up this whole earth and reset the whole thing back. The earth exists back, perpendicular to the sun again. And the temperature of the earth will be the same, remain the same, as it was in the days before sin came. There will be no spring, summer, autumn and winter that we have today. Man has destroyed the earth. And because man have destroyed the earth, God is going to say that when you destroy them, I'm going to destroy it too. And He will, after the 1,000 years millennium of His reign. Now, so now the question right now is that we know people want to dress comfortably. But when we dress comfortably doesn't mean that we dress so indecent. Is that right? You understand this. So now that we have here, Exodus 28:42. This is what God told Moses regarding the priest and high priest. He said, "Thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. From the loin even unto the thigh they shall reach." "You shall make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness." Now I want you to notice this word, breeches and nakedness. From the loins even unto the thighs. And this is God's instruction to Moses regarding the high priest and the priest who minister in the temple of God. So, what did God ask Moses, to create these breeches for the high priest? Because in those days, people don't wear underwear. They don't have the underwear that you have. Calvin Klein. What other brand? The women's panties, I don't know what brand they have. They don't have that in those days. All they have is probably a cloth wrapped around their areas. That's all. But what did God told Moses that he should make them breeches? Because when the priest ministered in the temple of God, in the room, in the temple, the whole area is holy unto God. The ceiling, the wall, the floor. So as you know, in those days, the man and woman all practically dress what we call a skirt. It means just a wrap around. We call it a skirt because the English word called skirt. But whenever you say about skirt today, it means something the woman wear. Is it true? When a man wears a sarong, you know what a sarong is in Malay? Londe in India. It's a skirt. A londe is a skirt. It's just a word, a skirt. You mean to skirt around. You know what I mean? It's that word, skirt. So I take a towel, a bath towel, and I wrap around myself. That means I skirt around my waist. So that's a skirt. But today the word skirt means to many people is a woman's dress. I mean, that is the word for that. But it doesn't mean the word for that means that's it. So what is breeches now? So that's the question. What is breeches? Why? So the reason why God wanted Moses to make breeches for the priest is because the ground on the floor is holy. And you know what? There's nothing hiding the part that is not supposed to be exposed. And that part that's not supposed to be exposed is from the loins even unto the thighs. God called that nakedness. So, breeches. Buddha said this about the priest. Neither shalt thou go up by step unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. The heathens in the days when Israel was a kingdom. Israel was God's chosen people. And God had given them instruction of how to approach Him, to worship Him, to make a temple, to create a tabernacle, a tent where the people could worship Him. And they have high priests and priests and so on. Now, all this pertaining to the, it actually types and foreshadow about Jesus Christ and the church. Now, the heathen people around, the heathen nations around Israel, they copy it, but in copying it, they exaggerated many times what God wanted Israel to do. You see, when you have an altar, and you find that if you read the Bible many times, how that God's prophet went up to the mountain and tear down those false gods, the temple or the altar of the false gods. They were all built in upon high places. And today you know there are a lot of hidden religion are like that. They want to build a temple high up on the mountain. Because it's closer to heaven, it's closer to God. That is their mentality. Even the churches in America, in the Philippines, the Catholic Church included, of course, they want to build a church pointed upward and very tall. The Catholic did that back in history, historical time, back in the days of their Holy Roman Empire. And the Protestant, in fact, copied it. That's why they had the steeple, the church steeple. But now, many of them realize they don't have it. They just built an ordinary building for worship. Sometimes people don't realize it. But the heathen in those days, they built a temple, they built an altar high up. Now, you build an altar high up, as high as possible, how are you going to get up to the altar and bring your sacrifice and put it there? So you have to build steps. You understand? And that's what God told Moses. Do not, neither shall you go up by steps unto my altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered there. What does that mean? Obviously, because why? They don't have another way. And that's why today women, young women, especially young women, in Singapore, in many countries, Singapore is the worst. Because we are in a country at a crossroad of east and west, north and south. And we get all kinds of culture, people that come from the west, from the east, and you know what we have? J-pop, K-pop, C-pop. I don't know, from China Pop, one of you said you get C-pop. You don't love it, it is true. You know, we get how young people get all kind of how that they draw up themselves. In Japan, you have this cosplay and all that. Yeah, I mean, so Singapore, we can see young people, especially women, I would estimate maybe 30 or less, maybe 25, to early teens, young girls, the way how they dress today. You know, some minister that came and ministered to us here from Africa. When they came to Singapore, they saw what they said, "Brother, this is how they dress now." When they saw these girls, young girls, even maybe some of them in their 20s, wearing very short. You can see them, you know, right? You go to the mall, you see them everywhere. I would estimate 1 in 4, 1 in 3. Young people dress like that. And you know one thing, even if for a woman who wears a skirt, a proper skirt, you know how many times you see why that you have what we call fetish men who will videotape the under, what do you call that, hidden camera thing or whatever they do to to videotape a woman's bottom. Upskirt, yes. Why? What is that the trick that make a man so woo, what do you call that? To want to peek at the woman's bottom. And that's why in the staircase you see people in the escalator, men, they will look up. Sometimes look at a woman way up the escalator. Especially when she has miniskirt, it's short. And skirt is really short. What is there something about it? What if the Bible talks like that? So that's why even the priests, they are not allowed to climb up the step. Now, when you put up your leg up the step, you are lifting up the skirt, isn't it? Huh? And the people around there could see. And God said that is nakedness. It's an abomination. That's what Israel, they are not allowed to make step. They are only allowed to make incline. You know, incline, like a ram going out slowly. But the heathen, no, they want to put the alcohol up. And God told them, don't do what the heathen do. Because you are a holy people. Behave like one, so to speak. Huh? Got it? So your nakedness be not discovered. So remember this one nakedness? What is it? Ask God and Lord. How vile is our body? How vile is our body? What is that? You say, my body is okay. How vile is our body? Philippians 3:21. Who shall change our vile body that he may be fashioned unto his glorious body according to the working thereof whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? Change our vile body. What do you got to change our vile body? Because what is our body to change? And we will no longer get sick. We can walk through walls. We can just teleport ourselves. That'll be the day just like Jesus Christ. Huh? But in the first place, those of you people who do not understand, why did God allow these things? Why did God allow Adam and Eve to sin? He knew that they would sin, but why did he not stop them? Because God said, I want to give you a better body than this corrupt body. Even if Adam and Eve does not sin, they can live forever and ever and ever and not die. What then? It's still a body that when you cut yourself, there will be pain. Because it's a natural body. Though you will not die. But when the sin came in, the body is corrupt, God says, I will give you a better body than this. And that body is called a glorified body. A body that is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. It is no longer bound by the three-dimensional world. Huh? You can eat, or you do not want to eat, it's okay. This natural body needs to eat, sustained by food and water. But when that glorified body is given to us, if you want to eat, it's alright. If you don't want to eat, it's okay. You will not die if you do not want to eat. And you can walk through a wall if you want to walk through a wall. That's how Jesus walked through the wall into a house that is closed. Doors and windows are closed. That's the kind of body that we are waiting for. That is transformed. So how vile is this body? Very vile, isn't it? Is my body really a body of sin? Huh? Knowing this, Romans 6:6, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. This body is a body of sin. Whether you like it or not, you just think about it, whether it is. You get up in the morning, especially now with the kids. Even my little grandson, Adam. Now he's able now to argue with you and get upset and get angry. Little one, why did he learn that? Why did he learn that? Huh? Because of the nature of sin that is inside us. Because of what Satan did. Because of what happened in the Garden of Eden.
because of the fornication of Eve with the serpent, it produces human, then I'm not in the image of God anymore. It's tainted. That's why God has to send a flood to destroy all those serpent kind. But what is love is that nature that has gone into mankind. Every one of us have that nature. What we call, the Bible call, we will say, the serpentine nature. Yes. And so we are corrupt. Why does body have to die? Because of sin. And God has allowed man to live up to 120 years. That's the generation, if you can live to that. I read the paper today. The Chinese man who invented the Hangyu Pinyin, he died at the age of 111. That's very old, huh? In Japan, a lot of them are past 100 years old. But in Singapore, how many of us can pass 100 years old? How many of us even pass 70 years old? Or maybe 80, or 90, maybe, up to maximum. Huh. In Japan, they live long because of the way they eat their food. They live their lifestyle, not under stress. Here, we are all under stress. Isn't it? So what kind of body do we have? Body of sin, that is true. We are all dying away, we get disease every so often. You may be physically strong. You may not have any disease or affliction. You look very healthy. But sin is eating into your life spiritually. That's how bad it is. That's the body of sin. Knowing this, that all man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. It's called the body of sin. Let us look at this one here. So now that God told Moses to make linen breeches. This is linen breeches, like that. This is how you have seen. How many of you have seen this? I don't know whether they still sell this in Singapore. They do sell this in Singapore?
No.
No? No, you don't see that anymore. Never. You might be probably be able to get it if they find a store that says Victoria's Secret. I think so. This is all fancy fool thing. But breeches are exactly like this. And God told Moses to make these linen breeches for the priest from the loin all the way down to the knees. That's the tie. Now these two areas here are called the naked tie. Why is these two areas so important? That woman must cover that up. Huh? Because even me, I wear shorts at home, but I never wear shorts to go out. I don't want to expose my tie. You may say, wow, but what's so important? Why is it why you're so rigid about it? No, it's not rigid. I just believe that I don't want to expose my tie. Men try to wear shorts and go up and you may not. Women may not look at your tie. But if you're a woman, you wear short. See the MRT, see people look at it. Now, I'm talking to people who believe the Bible, who are Christian. Let me tell you something. If you go to a place, whether it's a mall, or even in MRT, and you have all the men sitting there, and hear the door open at the train station, and a woman walk in, she may not be good looking in the face, but she wears short, and her leg is pure white and sexy. Every eye will focus on that. Do you believe me? Don't tell me you don't. Men, last time it's crowded. Everybody's standing. A woman walking, you can only see the face. If she is a beautiful woman, you will look at her twice, maybe three times, because she's beautiful. Right? That man usually do is that when they look at a woman's face, then they look down. I'm a man, I know. And don't tell me you deny it, you don't do that. That's why it is important that we hawk-eye ourselves, the weakness. You will look down from the top down to the lake. You see? If she is properly dressed, you will not see anything more. Just look at her pretty face. But if a woman is not pretty in the face, but you know, there are many a woman are like that. Even aunties. You know, the only one, even the dress. Someone that dress so terribly that one exposed themselves. Brother and sister, we are Christian. Let us remember this. That's what Brother Brown said. Why does he have, he put a wooden cross in the car when he drive? It's because he don't get distracted by a woman in the street when he drive and wearing miniskirts and all of that. Just look at the cross. Keep your mind away. And today, of course, in the mall, many shops are selling Brazil. And they advertise a skinny woman with a bra and a brief, right? Trump, especially Trump. This world is like that now. But go back to the days of early 20th century or the middle of the 20th century. You don't see that. You don't see that. But now, things change. Why? Because the Bible said sin will increase, wickedness will increase, evil will increase, immorality will increase, and man will destroy themselves. And God said that before he make will destroy himself, I'll bring it to a stop. That's in the book of Matthew 24, briefly. So this is a brief. So the number one thing now is to cover from the loin this area all the way down. So that the priest wear that, so that the nakedness will not be exposed. Well, now, breeches with different names. They call it the trousers. Some people call it pajamas. Right? What is the trousers? What is the pajamas? It's just a word. Pajamas is wear for sleeping. But if you wear your trousers, normal trousers, when you sleep, you are wearing your pajamas as far as I'm concerned. Because you use that as a sleeping dress. You know. Some people, of course, they sleep at night, they don't wear pajamas. They wear a short and sleep. That's fine at your own home. See? But today we see in Singapore, even I can tell you something, and some of the ministers that came, they even asked me, how is that woman wearing like this? That is a sleeping dress. You ever seen? Yes. Sleeping dress that went out going to the market. Huh? So that is a trouser. Now we call this a short pant. We call this a Bermuda short. And we call it short short. And this is a brief. And this is the panties. So what is breeches? Now, this is a breech, right? Haven't you seen this, right? Women in those days, in the early 20th century in America. Okay? All women, men, America was discovered in the 1700 plus. They wear this, and then they wear a big skirt. Right? A long skirt. That's how they do. So you want to call breeches, trousers, pants, underwear, whatever you call it, it doesn't matter. But the question is this. Are breeches trousers? Now that's the question. Are breeches trousers? Or are trousers breeches? So what is what? Are breeches trousers? Yes, no. Are trousers breeches? I think so. The question. Or a trousers drawers. Huh? A trousers drawers. Or we to say a breeches drawers. The word breeches is a word in the Hebrew nouns. In the sense of hiding, only in dwell, drawers from concealing the private parts, breeches. So breeches are actually drawers, meant to say
hide it, like your drawers. You know what I mean? Yes. So God made these preachers as a drawer to hide the private part. And the preachers extend from your loin, from your waist or loin, all the way down to your knees. That's the whole area. The whole area is the nakedness that cannot be exposed. See that? We talk about breaches here. There have been a lot of arguments among people who are extremists in a sense. That is to say that because breeches was made for the high priest, they are men. So women cannot wear breeches. Therefore women cannot wear trousers. So I ask the question, what is trousers? Are trousers breeches? A trousers is trousers by itself. Breeches is just a word means to cover. So a breeches are underwears for that fact. But if you make it long, you can call it a pantaloon. You call it a pant, whatever you want to call it. So in the Christian world today, there have been a lot of argument and opinion. Why? Because some people have become very strict. Some people have become so liberated, so to say, liberal. Let the people do anyhow they like, dress anyhow they like. That's why even in churches, sometimes you can see men going to church wearing cargo pants. What? You know, whether the cargo pants that they are going out for a casual picnic or something. Yeah. And we were wearing miniskirt to church, miniskirt with high heel shoes. I'm talking about we are Christian people. I mean, if they are sinners, they do not know, I understand. Because Christian people are supposed to know the truth. And the truth that set them free, and our life was supposed to be a reflection to the world. See? So then, can woman wear trousers? Because if breeches are trousers, which of course the Bible thinks that breeches are trousers, it's just a drawer. Why you put? Well, we can call it two tubes. But even today, we have what we call stocking? Huh? Yeah. Go all the way up to the tie, right? As high up so, to prevent cold from getting in, right? Or you have long johns. But when you wear long johns, you're not going to go out in a long johns in public. The Bible talks about modest apparel. Modesty is what God is talking about. Dress proper. For Christian people, dress proper. And don't show your naked thighs. He says, my thighs, my knee is not that sexy. You know where I worked one time when I was working in the Bureau Hospital? There were only a few male working there, of course, because it's a rehabilitation hospital. And my senior, he was an Indian, he passed away already from a heart attack. He was an Indian man, and at that time he was about 50 years old or so. I was in my 40s or 30s. And you know, we were having a discussion about the anatomy of the human body. And I was talking about the knees. Sharing with them what the Bible talks about, the knees that we must cover. Then he said, you want to look at my knees? I thought he was kidding. I have the most beautiful knees for the man, he said that. I said, we all know we have knobby knees, especially when we feel skinny like me. We have knobby knees. He said, I will show you my knees. And you look at it and say, well, my knee is beautiful. So he lifted up his trousers and exposed his two knees to show us. I couldn't believe my eyes. It was beautiful knees. For the man. Yes, I said, wow, you really have beautiful knees. Very well formed and very, you know, smooth and nice looking. But many of us is numby, right? Because of the patella and the side of the bone, the thigh bone. But he was so beautiful, and what is, you may say that the God must be crazy to tell Moses to make these breeches to cover the whole thigh up to the knees. What's so beautiful about knees? Do you know knees is an enticing part of the body? Because from that place upwards, what is that area? That's the thigh. That's the thigh area. And you know why Samson lost his strength? Delilah tried to seduce him this way and that way. He never told her the secret. One time, two times, this and that. Until she began to seduce him in such a way, he said, come, Samson, put your head down upon my knees. That's the sexual part that people do not know. And I said this, every one of us are born between the knees. You agree with that? We are born between the knees. That's Eerial love. Eerial. You know, there are three kinds of love, right? Eerial, filial, and agape. Eerial means the love between a man and a woman, sexual love. Filial means probably love between, you know, anyone. You want a child, a father, and a child, mother, and a child. Agape love is the love of God. Every one of us are born between the knees. The desire of our parents. And the church won't tell you this because you're not supposed to talk like this. You're not supposed to talk about sexuality. Let me tell you something. Read the book of Solomon. Some people call this book of Solomon very dirty. They call some of them even sarcastic, call it pornographic book. God tell it as it is. But today people try to think that they are so holy they don't want to talk about sex. And if you have children, you better teach about your children about sex. By the birds and the bees. Don't tell them that you came from a stock. A stock robbed you. Or that your parents told that you find them somewhere lying beside a dustbin or somebody you find at the doorstep. You know, that's the days of old. I remember people talk like this, you know. When you're so traditional, you don't talk about these things. Huh? The Bible mentioned the way it should be mentioned. You see. So you see how important it is for us. About trousers. Trousers is just too tight, but what kind of trousers are we talking about that a woman can wear and that a woman cannot wear? And even that which the man should not even wear. Right. Now look at this. This woman here, of course, is a Benjamin, and she's wearing her trousers. And this long tunic. We call it tunic now. It's something that you know, tunic is just a word, huh? Do you understand? So now we see earlier on the Roman soldier wear like a miniskirt. That's the tunic that he's short. But if you're rich, you have another bigger one, a longer one, and cover on the outside. And then that tunic, the short tunic become like an underwear. See? Alright, and this woman here, of course, is wearing an outdown. She's wearing a trousers which is pink and a white flag on the outside. Now, you know how the outdown look like. This one piece is up to the top. It's split, right? One piece in front, one piece at the back. Right? But the important thing is about these trousers. As long as this baggy does not show your body form. Do you understand? That's all. Like in India, they have this kameez. What kameez is that the woman wear? The Bengali woman wear? The very baggy trousers with a skirt on the outside. Now here is this other woman. You see how they dress? And I think that this is very, very frightening. You agree with this? I'm not asking you to wear that. You see, they have a trousers. Why one here and this? And this trousers is baggy. You know why? This is family. The Bible talks about modesty. Modesty. It does not hurt the body. Do you understand what I'm saying? It does not hurt the body. But of course, change takes place. Even men have the old down. You know who those two guys are? Men have old down too, but you see the pattern. That's the reason why, brother mine, these people out there, they don't understand. There's a bargain. You allow women to wear trousers. I said, what trousers are you talking about? Men's trousers? No, anything that looks like a trousers is a trousers. I don't know what they're talking about. Then I said, that means to say that a woman cannot wear an underwear. A panty is a trousers. It's a drawer also. Only that it's not long to cover the knees. So you expect a woman to wear what? Wear what? A piece of cloth wrapped around like the sumo wrestler? You know what I'm talking about? The fanaticism of people in religious world. Instead of being spiritual, understand what the Bible says. They go by tradition, they go by opinion. Consensus. You know, God doesn't need your consensus. Doesn't need our consensus. God doesn't change. But one thing for sure, God did not say you must wear white or blue or green dress. No, He doesn't. It doesn't tell you how long to wear. The thing the Bible says is that modest apparel, long enough to cover yourself properly. Do you see? Now, changes take place. This man is wearing an abdab, the trousers here. This woman wearing an abdab. But this woman is also wearing an abdab. But more, what kind of abdab is he? Look at that. Changes take place. When East meets West, the pot begins to boil. And when the pot boils, the water gets lower as the thing goes up higher. And in the end, nothing is left. It's exposed. What do you have? Look at this. This is nothing but, what do you call this? Pantaloon? Leggings. So now we're legging and then they bring up higher. And then with this split and they are very tight leggings. And not only that, look at a high heel. And you know one thing what the Bible talks about high heel, you can see what the Bible said about that. A lot of people don't realize the terrible thing that they did to the whole body. This man is wearing so tight jeans. This is what men should not be wearing. If you are wearing tight jeans, don't. You say, oh, I just bought it and it cost me $80. Burn it. Do you know what you do to your body? The pressure of that thing on the body. You know why now? You can see some of these men wearing these tight jeans. What are they trying to show? They wear tight jeans, they wear a very nice finisher, they want to show this. I got size, man. I look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm handsome. And they wear so tight, they do not know what's going to do with their body. That is not modest dressing. That is a vanity. That's the world. Christians are not supposed to do that and behave like the world. The Bible tells us, be not conformed to the world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind now. You are different people. We are. If not, then well, we are no different from the world. All we have is just a religion. And God has no, in God there's no religion. Huh? In God is reality. Not on some religion of your own thinking. See, this is what happened. Nice butt. I'm telling you, that's a fact, isn't it? Why do you think this woman dressed this way? Get a fat woman to wear. Would they wear? No. Yeah. And get a very skinny woman to wear it. No, they wouldn't. Because what they see is bones people can see. But you have a very nice like this, they wear it to flaunt it, to show it. These are the facts of life out there in the world. And if a Christian woman dressed like this, or a man dressed like this, I don't know. for a Christian man or woman to ordain something is very wrong. It is not modest. And that's why how this is what we call modern day breeches for women. And this is very, very wrong. If she wants to wear this, fine. But on the outside, wear a skirt. You know what I'm talking about? That's what Bengali women are wearing. Have you seen Bengali men and women wear?
Yes.
That's how the outdoor would be. If you wear this, I don't care what you wear inside here, as long as the outside, you're covered up properly. But even when you wear this so tight and wear one like the outdoor on the outside, it's also very wrong. Because from the side, people know that you are forming a body shape. And outdoor should always be baggy and flowing. That's why in Asia, if you know that the Asian country, the fashion, in ancient China, the sanfu. You all remember the sanfu, how it should be? Baggy trousers, long tunic. Right? But now, after the Second World War, the baggy sanfu trousers has become tapered. And those that people wear sanfu, what do the women wear when they wear sanfu? What's on their feet? What do they wear in their feet? A cloak. Right? Or just a plain shoe. But after the Second World War, China changed a lot. Young women start to bring the tunic, the top blouse, higher. The trousers, for the sanfu, tapered, and then they wear high heel. You see how the world changed because Satan is the god of this world. He's the god of this evil world. The Bible tells us this world belongs to him. The system was created by him. And he undermined political system, he undermined the religious system, he undermined the financial system, the military systems. And the Bible tells us that all these four systems is being held back until God let it loose and the whole world will go into war. And it's going to happen maybe this year or next year. Things are moving very fast. That's why we need to get ready for Christ's coming. Preachers now. Go back and remember this. In the sense of hiding, draw us from concealing the private parts. That's called breeches. Exodus. And thou shalt make them linen breeches to cover their nakedness. Remember this word breeches? It covers the nakedness from the loin even unto the thigh. They shall reach. Now Isaiah 47, 13. 1 to 3, sorry. Come now and sit in the dust, O virgin. Daughter of Babylon. Now who is the daughter of Babylon? He's talking about Babylon, you know, is up in Mesopotamian area, those ancient times, and God spoke against them because they are the ones that bring in false religion and bring it down all the way to Israel and corrupt the people. And here the Bible is talking about prophetically. There are three kinds of woman. Here he's talking about the woman of Babylon, the woman of the Chaldean. Then you have, two kinds of woman. The other woman is the daughter of Jerusalem, or the daughter of Zion. Okay? Babylon is a city. And the people who live there are the Babylonian, and sometimes they are called the Chaldean. Then there is the city of Jerusalem, and the people they are called the daughters of Jerusalem. But the Bible uses the word daughter because God relates to them, the people, as feminine. So now he says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground, and there is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldean, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks, make bare the lake, uncover thy thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered. Yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, I will not meet thee as a man. Uncover the thigh, nakedness shall be uncovered. The thigh is the naked thigh. Nakedness is found there. This is regarding the daughter of Babylon. And in the religious world today, especially in the Christian religious world, God spoke to them against them as daughter of Babylon because they are disobedient. They will not hearken to the word of God. They want their religious system. They want their Christian dogma. They want their tradition. They let the people do whatever they want. They don't want to preach the truth. Preach the truth, the woman will go out of the church. They won't come back. Preach the truth, the man will leave the church because they don't, I don't want to come. Religion will have no freedom. God said, you want freedom? Don't come. Practically. God wants the people, therefore, because He's going to change the body and give them eternal life. Where He will rule with Him. You know, in Singapore, we are very privileged here, as I said this many times. You're born here. Let's assume that you're born in Africa, in many countries like Somalia. Or Nigeria in the north, where there's a lot of killing. Or that you're born in Syria as a Syrian. What will happen to you? The people there are suffering. What about if you're born in North Korea? Or back in the day of communist China. Or back in the day of when Hitler was, conquering all of Europe. And you were born in that time. We don't know where we are to be born, but we are born in this century. And here in this place where we have freedom. But let us remember, as people of God, let us follow Him. Isaiah 3:60. Moreover, the Lord said, because the daughter of Zion are haughty. Now, this is the daughter of Zion, or the daughter of Babylon, or Jerusalem. That's referring to people like us. Because it tied Israel to a spiritual issue. Because the daughter of Zion are haughty, and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go, making a tinkling with their feet. What is he talking about? Haughty woman. And walk. You know how they walk? When you wear high heel. You understand? Walk their eyes. And people wear high heel. You see how they walk. And you see how they try to compose them as that they're very, steady, very nice looking. And I mean, they're just full of vanity. They don't realize that. God did not make high heel shoes. People make high heel shoes, make themselves look sexy in the car. But in the end, there's a whole lot of pain after a few years. They don't realize that. It's all vanity. Yes. I told you before when I was in church back in America, when I was there for a convention, after the service was over, I went to a restaurant to eat. And with some other believers there, and here a sister came in and stood in front of me at the table. And he said, Brother Guy, can I ask you a question? I know you're a nurse, you know physiology and anatomy. And can I ask you a question? I said, yeah, go ahead, sister. He said, I have this back pain. That has been troubling me. What do you think is the cause? I said, sister, I don't have to look down at your feet because the table is blocking me because she's standing over there. I said, I won't be surprised that you're wearing high heel shoes that is at least 4 inches. She looked at me. She wouldn't believe. I said, because you're wearing high heel shoes over a period of time, your calf muscle is being pulled to one side and that's why it causes you the back pain. Take that off. She was a good-looking sister. And that's why she wanted to look even better, I guess. Don't. You don't have to look yourself look better by dressing very beautiful clothing and all these things and expensive jewelry and where are you? And no, don't be like the world. Be natural. I read a paper a few days ago between Duterte, president of Philippines, and the Prime Minister of Abe of Japan, when they meet together. Duterte, very simple person. You don't have to dress nice? Natural. Don't have to wear coats and ties and presentation and all this. No, just be natural. Come eat with me at my small, simple table. Simple food. See? And which, that's what we should be. The Bible said that we should be, what we call, be happy with whatever we have. Lamentation. Jeremiah cried. All that pass by clap their hands at you. They hiss and wipe their heads at the daughter of Jerusalem, saying, is this the city that men call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? You see, Prophet Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God to Israel, and Israel had corrupted themselves. You understand? That's why even Isaiah in his days prophesied like this. And Jeremiah the same talks about this. You daughter of Zion, what happened to you? The whole city of Jerusalem is supposed to be the glory of God. And so this one is talking about us in types. We're supposed to be the city of God. So now he say, is this city that men of the earth call the perfection of beauty, the joy of the whole earth? Now, you can see the problem that exists in the church today. It's not just about corruption. About the way they dress. You know what happened to City Harvest case? There are a lot of corrupt preachers out there. People are just greedy. The three things the Bible talks about and warns about. Even Jesus Christ was tempted with these three. The lust of the flesh. Yeah. That's all about sex and all about what the body desires. The lust of the eye. The craving. And the pride of life. People want property. I want to be, famous. They want to be big guy. Pride of life. And the church today, when God looked down upon the church, they said in the book of Revelation, God said, I spewed you out of my mouth. You say you're rich and have need of nothing. Yes, you're increased in good. Look at the churches, they are very rich. There's so much money that they have bought big property to build a big church building for them. Buy over a cinema. Buy over the whole building, in fact. And here we have been moving around from hotel room to YMCA room to home and fellowship. Finally, we get this place to rent. In Africa, in India, and Philippines, we try to help a lot of brothers and churches to have a small place for fellowship. Because where do they fellowship in Africa? Most of the time, under a tree. On benches. And even the preacher, because there are all people standing there, because the ground is wet, they stand. And the preacher couldn't see the preacher because they had 200 people. So, Brother Knights, he was told to climb up the tree and preach from the tree top. So he climbed up the tree and he stood on the branch so the people could see him. And he preached from the tree. Standing there. See? But all the churches today, most of them, we don't need them, nothing, we are rich. Yeah, God says, I spew you out of my mouth. Because you say you are rich. But you do not know you are naked. Because you don't have the word of God. And God said, try to buy me. Go try in the fire. Buy from me. Go there, just try in the fire. Because you are neither rich nor hot nor cold. I spewed it out. You are lukewarm. And God hates lukewarmness. Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous over you, we call it jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin. Now you know the word. God promised that. Then the last part here. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife had made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. This wife and make herself ready. If we be a bride of Christ,
The Pope said, I expose you to. Then let us make ourselves ready for the coming of our Lord in Jesus Christ. This world has become a place of like Sodom and Gomorrah. And soon, Christ is going to return. And we are looking forward to that. Alright? Let us pray. Father, in heaven, we thank you now for the word. We know you demand of us, Father, a life that is holy, that is clean, something that is righteous before you, that men may see that we are truly a people of God. We know that what's going on out there, Father, among the churches today, there's been a lot of freedom. The people want the freedom. Just as it's been said in the Holy Word, this is the age of Laodicea. People want their rights, and so they have it. And they dress the way they dress, Father. And they believe the thing that they believe in, all because they want it the way they want it. But Lord, we know you are the Lord that never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we know that, Father, you want this word of yours to be manifest in our life. Because thou art the vine and we are the branches. The life that flows from Jesus Christ flows into us, the branches. That we bear much fruit as we should, Father. So unless, Lord, we abide in our Lord Jesus Christ, we will never be able to bear forth fruit. So let our lives so shine before men, Lord, that they may see the works of God in us. We ask for your blessing today. Let the word, O Lord, be in our heart. And that we keep it, Father, and not sin against thee. So we thank you, Father, today in Jesus' name. Amen.